Yo.
Hey, I'm Emily Chenevere, CEO of the Austin Board of Realtors. Real estate is changing. Disruptors are flipping the script before most of us have even had our morning coffee. So we're taking it to the experts to peel back the layers on what you need to know. Scratch what you think you know about this business and listen up for a new version of an old industry. With over 25 years of experience in marketing, life as a managing broker, keynote speaker, and social media maven has Marky Lemons Ryle busier than ever. She gets the numbers game that leads to success in this business, and she's breaking it down for us with simple and actionable habits that you can start using today to win that game. With so much talk about social media that it's beginning to feel a little overdone, I started by asking Marky if social media marketing is really valuable when it comes to really closing business. What's her philosophy behind making social media actionable and impactful in your business today?
Well, I treat social media totally different. And there's a book out there called Blue Ocean Strategy. So I don't like to do what everyone else is doing, but what I acknowledge is that every single realtor needs to generate leads. And most top producers on their calendar, they have 1 to 2 hours of lead generation every single day. I leverage social media and technology for lead generation purposes. And so the company that I'm with states that in order to earn a six-figure income, if your average price point is $250,000, you need to add 2,880 contacts to your customer relationship management system. So what I do with social media and technology is I create items of value. I always add a call to action, and on average, I'm adding right about 4,800 contacts to my customer relationship management system annually. So I treat social media and technology as lead generation. Therefore, it's on my calendar for 1 hour every single day, Monday through Friday.
Do you use social media also to take that lead from just cold lead to warm and full-on transaction relationship?
Yes. And so an example would be, as a realtor member, I'm always looking at the tools in my MLS. And my MLS has a couple of tools that have landing pages attached to it. I'm not necessarily endorsing this company, but I'm going to tell you about a free tool that we have in our MLS. So we use Cloud CMA and we have Cloud Stream that's free to our realtor members. Well, I decided to do a video in front of my house about the value of real estate. And I told people to click on the link. I had 99 people who clicked on the link, but 10 consumers gave me their contact information. So they gave me their name, their address, their square footage, and their email address. So their mailing address and their email address. What I then did was took those names and put them into my customer relationship management system, but Cloud CMA generated an automated CMA or AVM, or automated valuation model, sent it to them and sent it to me. And what's funny is I did a comparison of my house to the house on the corner. The listing agent for the house on the corner ended up calling me, and I went over to the property. We did a rooftop deck video together, and I generated another 3 leads off of his listing. So I'm always thinking about all of the tools that we already pay for that provide something of value. So an automated valuation model is something of value. You know, if you looked at Zillow, they get a lot of people hooked on an automated valuation model. Well, we have one that's for realtor members that operates with our MLS. And so I'm looking at other ways on how am I going to use these tools on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, you name it, with a call to action so that I get people, one, to interact with me. They are already seeing my brand. I can now easily slide into the DM. I think we're going to talk about direct messaging. And so, yes, I'm taking those contacts and I'm nurturing them through my customer relationship management system and email after they interact with me. But the way I'm capturing their information is 100% social media and technology.
I hear two really important things there I want to drill down on. One is pay attention to the tools that you have and leverage them, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I get it. You guys are overwhelmed with the number of tools being thrown your way by the MLS, by the association, by your brokers, all the things. But if you'll just be really deliberate and strategic about leveraging those, that's creating content for you. And it's not creating just any content. It's a content that is of specific value to your audience. Right?
Yes.
Got it.
So I always encourage realtors, stop stepping over dollars to pick up pennies.
Love it.
And we have an abundance of resources, whether it's your local association, state association, national association, MLS, and the franchise or brokerage that you work for. But we're still looking for something else. And the problem is because we don't commit to lead generation, or we don't understand the numbers, how many people do we need to add to our customer relationship management system in order to earn the type of money we want to earn? And even though I'm telling and encouraging people that they should add 2,880 contacts to their customer relationship management system, if their average price point is $250,000, that's only going to net them 20 transactions.
That's a hard numbers game, isn't it?
It is a hard numbers game. But our business, even though, you know, a lot of us came into the business for the love of selling real estate, we are in the business of lead generation. And anytime a deal looks like it's getting ready to crash or not close, we essentially need to replace that. But we don't need to just replace it with one. Based on the law of averages, I need to replace it. Like, for every time a deal looks like it's going to close, realistically, I need to be adding five other contacts. I need to be so mad and so upset that I go and get five replacements so that I can ensure the likelihood of a successful transaction.
Yeah, it is about having that pipeline full and ready because it's a volatile business. And so you've got to be prepared with that backfill. So you touched just a minute on sliding into a direct message. What does that mean for somebody who hasn't heard that before?
So it's going down in the DM. There's actually a rapper that raps about it, but we don't have gatekeepers anymore. So there was a time if I wanted to talk to a CEO of a realtor association, I would essentially call the, I'm going back to when I came into the business, I would have to call the front desk because you really couldn't, we hadn't figured out email addresses, you know, and generally they all kind of are the same. And so we would call the front desk and then we would go to their administrative assistant, right? And the administrative assistant would decide essentially who would be of value to the CEO to talk to. Well, now because the CEO is interacting with their members in real time, they have a Facebook account, they have a LinkedIn account, some even have Instagram accounts. I don't need permission to send you a DM, okay? Especially if we're already connected. And so let's say that I do a great video, and on that video, you take one of several actions. You could share it, you could like it, or you could comment on it. As a result of your actions on my content, I can now come back to your profile and send you a message. Hey, you know, thank you for your comment. It provided value. Or if you shared it, you know what? I truly appreciate you sharing my video content to your sphere of influence and spreading the word. So there's numerous things that if I'm creating great content, that because of your involvement and interaction on that content, essentially you've kind of opened the door. So not only can I slide into the DM, you've already told me what you thought about the content, right? So now I can follow up and engage you in additional conversation.
So what's the fine line between that being social and nice to have that follow-up, convenient in terms of managing that relationship, versus it being obnoxious or creepy? Because you know there are those people who slide straight into a DM that I don't really know and approach it so aggressively sometimes.
And so one is not to be for sales, right? And it is to provide an additional item of value. So an example would be I have a daily social media checklist. And let's say that I talked about social media and technology, and basically your comment is I need additional help. Well, let me provide you with some additional resources. That's not creepy because you've let me know what it is that you want and or what it is that you need. I understand the creep move, and there's definitely creep moves.
I'm just being real. You know that we see it.
Here's where I guess there's you have to straddle the fence. One is you're not just picking up a random conversation. You're actually responding to a person's actions. And the next step is not to sell them, but to provide something of value to them that kind of brings everything full circle.
I hear you. Just put that person that you're reaching out to in the center of your action, right? And
yeah,
if you're trying to meet them where they are and provide responses to their needs directly, then it's not weird.
Right. I wouldn't do a video on video and then you say, oh, I love it. And instantly I'm coming back and telling you, oh, and by the way, I have a $79.99 product.
Right. Yes, three easy payments right here.
Three easy payments. What I would say is I have a private Facebook group where we provide ongoing video information. If you would like to, please join.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. And then it's all about if that suits your need, come on in.
Yeah, exactly. And if they don't, it's kind of funny to me how people forget their previous messages. So I tend not to delete communications inside of Messenger. And so it's this one guy, he's with a specific company. And it's like every 6 months, he sends me the same freaking message. And I'm like, don't you know you've already sent me the same message twice a year for the past 5 years? Like I have this message 10 times. It just makes them look so tacky.
Yes. I mean, CEO of an association, in an MLS, one of the things that happens is the vendors are just knocking down your door. And it is, I mean, I'm so turned off by a canned email, I cannot tell you. So I appreciate that what you're saying is be genuine, meet them with what they're asking for, and be responsive to their specific action. Because that canned, everybody got an email 10 times a year is not working for you.
No, it's absolutely not working for you. And I think someone posted on Facebook the other day, they said, please do not send other real estate professionals your canned 4th of July message.
Right? Oh, I love it. I love it. Yes. How many? Yes. Or yeah. And they're convinced that we're selling their email addresses, but we're not at the Austin Board of Realtors selling email addresses.
Yes.
I know. So a lot of what you talk about sounds very routine. You know, I've heard you speak several times and you're so good about, you know, it takes this many contacts and you're building out those routines. Are you very, very routine and habitual in your own life?
I am very routine in my own life. Always have been. I was the high schooler. Now, and figure this out, I will be 49. So I, in high school, had a planner, okay? And we're talking about the 80s.
I love
it. So
tell me it was the Trapper Keeper, Marky. Tell me.
I believe it was the Trapper Keeper.
Oh, yes.
And I had it in, like, people talk about me still to this day because I carried a notebook or a journal, whatever you want to call it. And I was taking my notes because I had a plan for my life. And when we graduate from high school, in my memory book, I told people that I would be married with, I think at the time I said 4 children, but once you understand the cost, you start lowering the numbers. So I have 2 children and that I would be successful in my chosen occupation as an entrepreneur. And 100%, that is exactly what I'm doing today. So what I'm doing today, I wrote down as a 17-year-old.
Oh, I love that. That's a girl after my own heart. So
yes.
I could appreciate a good planner and a good plan. So how do those turn into daily habits for you? What does your day look like? How does it start?
So my day actually starts with The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. And so let me kind of go back. Probably about 6 years ago, my money was funny, my energy was zapped, and I did not have enough time to date my husband. And even though I had routines, I needed more structure because what I was clear about was I didn't need to take another class. I didn't need to necessarily go back to school. I had a boatload of designation certifications and licenses, but I still wasn't attracting what I wanted to attract. And so the first thing was I read the book, The One Thing. And that's when I became laser beam focused on having a niche, as they would say. That was the first thing. The next thing was developing a routine. So I am the person who would let everybody know I was not necessarily a morning person. I am a morning person now. And so I get up every single morning and instead of doing what they call life savers, I do a life of sales. Every morning I'm looking at silence. So the house is quiet. I get up after my husband, but he's already gone to work. So before my youngest son gets up, I'm going to do my affirmations every single day with a tool called Prompter. I am going to do lead generation every single day. I'm going to do some form of exercise. For me, it's trying to get my 10,000 steps in. I don't always accomplish 10,000. And then scripts. So I'm writing every single day in that journal. And on my calendar every single day is an hour of social media and technology. A lot of times people aren't going to sit down and just hammer out 60 minutes. So what I would say, you would develop a calendar and you could put on your calendar 4 15-minute time blocks, and you could have them at like the 6 a.m. and you can move those throughout the course of the day, but you need to sit down and take some time to engage, respond, and put out content every single day. I have church on my calendar. I have my video creation. So the way my calendar is set up, because I travel a lot and oftentimes I don't have control over my calendar, I have my morning routine regardless to where, if I'm in Chicago or not. And then because Mondays tend not to be a day where people have a lot of real estate conferences and events, my Mondays are dedicated to recording my personal podcast and doing in-office training for my agents. And so I have a morning routine and things that I do every single day, regardless to where I am in the world. And then on Mondays, I have a Monday routine, and that is record and meet face-to-face with my agent.
I like that you said that no matter where you are, that morning routine is intact, because I've heard that from so many other entrepreneurs who are successful, is that, you know, you have to go where you need to go to get your business done, but maintaining that consistency and in practice is really an important key to your success, right?
Oh, most definitely. And when I think about what, you know, because we always look at our why, you know, why are we willing to make these sacrifices? My youngest son, he attends Chicago Public Schools, which kind of saves me $12,000 to $15,000 a year on private and parochial education. So he went from, let's say, a C-plus grade school to a A-minus grade school. And the old school, the C-plus school, started at 9 o'clock. The A-minus school starts at 7:30. Well, when he went to the new school, one, it was a diverse school, and he has historically had attended predominantly African-American schools. But not only was it diverse, me and my husband are older parents, okay? So what I had decided was I could not be the Black old mama showing up at school, dropping her baby off late, right? Like, that could not happen, right?
That's not a good look.
Not a good look, right? So I said to myself, look, you're going to get your butt up. And I get up at 5:15, but I was never getting up at 5:15. And I realized that there's a whole world that operates, you know, at 5:15 a.m. So I could tell people, oh, yeah, I can meet you for coffee at 7 o'clock. And I'm not thinking to myself, that's the time I roll out of the bed, which was what used to be true. When I think about Gary Vee, here is where my mind has shifted. I believe that we should be highly niched because everyone doesn't need to get up at 5:15. Okay. And so there is a night scene in real estate, right? It probably, I'm going to say it's a millennial. They party, they go out. There's a lot of business to be made at nighttime. So you might not do a 5:15 a.m. routine. You actually might do a noon program, right? I'm going to assume that that person doesn't have children, or if they do, someone else takes them to school. You know what I'm saying? And so it doesn't have to be 5:15 a.m., but it does need to start when you start your day based on who you are servicing.
Yeah, you need to maintain consistency in whatever routine you set. That's about, you know, continuing that practice and being really consistent with it. Okay, so routine timing aside, what specific aspects of a routine or what habits should a realtor pick up today that they can put into action to make their social media marketing more effective?
I tell everybody this and they do not believe me. They need to have a business plan. They need to be clear who their client, who their consumer, who their customer is, because your social media and technology is not about you. It is about attracting buyers and sellers who want your services where you service. So that means then, one, I need to talk to people the way that they're searching online so that my content can come up in that search. And then when they get there, it needs to be something of value. So I tell every, I want to know who your customers are, who your clients are, because this is not one size fits all. An example would be, before I became known for social media and technology, I was the queen of foreclosures. And I actually used social media and technology to promote the foreclosure and short sale side of the business. So we're going back to 2006. With that being said, I understood that I needed to develop relationships with banks because I wanted to talk to asset managers and directors or VP of business development because I was trying to get these master listing agreements in order to sell their REO homes. Make a long story short, I decided I didn't have the money at the time because the real estate market was in the process of getting ready to crash, right? To go to these things called five-star institutes. Well, I leveraged LinkedIn in order to develop the relationships I needed to develop because that's where those people hung out. So it's never about us. It's always about the customer and understanding, one, that customer, their buying and selling process, but more importantly, what's important to them. And so it's not one size fits all. You have a business plan, you understand who that client is, and then you go and you hang out online where they're most likely to be.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. That if you're just trying to speak to the masses, you're speaking to no one. But if you can be specific about who your client is and go find that person, then also you can be more specific about providing that item of value that you spoke about earlier.
Exactly. So an example would even be, I often tell people, my audience as a real estate educator is more so going to be the director of education, right? The chair and co-chair, if the association is big enough to have a chair and co-chair, or the CEO. Well, I've met you face to face. And so what I would tell people, you aren't what one would expect in a CEO, because most CEOs of realtor associations are going to be Caucasian men age 55 to 65. They tend to golf. So I could tell you all about what that CEO looks like and all about what that director of education looks like normally. They're normally going to be a female 45 to 55, and most of them can cook for some reason. Like, bacon is their thing. I understand that because I do. Right now, the only person I can't predict, it's going to be, what does that chair and co-chair look like? But then if I dig deeper, I could tell you what the average realtor association volunteer looks like. So you have to really understand who are the people I'm doing business with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you're saying is I threw you for a loop is what you did. Which is
look,
great.
Wait, when you said you were the CEO, I had to scratch my head. I said, oh, well, come on, come through, young tender, come through.
You know, it's good, yeah. It's good to shake it up sometimes, Marky. I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you have a pretty fab young female CEO in Chicago, too. And I just love Michelle.
I surely do. So. I surely do. So you two are not the norm. You are the I would call you, you're breaking the glass ceiling and you are the new new. And so I am elated.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So you said earlier that a part of your morning routine is affirmations. Would you be willing to share what your affirmations sound like?
So I can share with you what I actually use, an app. And the reason I use the app, because the app makes me write down my affirmations every single day. And I have to take a photo. So it's kind of like a affirmation accountability app. Mm-hmm. So I have to take a photo of the affirmations and submit them back to the app in order to get credit. So I'm opening the app right now and I'm going to tell you what the affirmations are for today.
What's the app called?
The app is called Prompter, Prompter.
Awesome.
So before I was using Prompter, I actually had my affirmations inside of Evernote because I have Evernote on every single device. So I wanted to make sure that I always had my affirmations with me. But these are my current affirmations. And let me tell you what it tells me to do. I have to handwrite the following affirmations each day for 21 days and then take a photo once I've written them down and submit them. So I am an achiever and I am achieving. I am mindful in all I say and do. I am constantly learning and self-improving. I enjoy learning immensely, and I am an excellent student. I use expertise, precision, and finesse in all I say and do. I have excellent organizational skills. I am prompt and punctual. I am an excellent negotiator, arbitrator, and mediator. I am a hard worker, and I enjoy every moment of it. I am both precise and specific regarding all important details in every transaction. And so I'm getting up, I'm saying those, I'm writing them, then I'm taking a picture and submitting them. And every 21 days, I get a new set.
I love that. I think if you were even 2/3 of those things on a consistent basis, that's a pretty awesome realtor in my book, right?
It is.
You know?
It is.
And that's the beauty in it. If you can see it, then you can be it. And I think that's awesome. So good for you. Okay. So you mentioned that you like Hal Elrod and that you've like his book, Miracle Morning or The Miracle Moment. I can't remember which way it goes. But what other media do you like to consume? What feeds you? Because you're constantly feeding others, but something's got to keep you charged up and going too.
Besides the fact that I'm listening to other podcasts, so I understand who my competition is and I support my competition. And so I love Chelsea Pites. I love Katie Lands. I love Dustin Brome. We kind of all have that same mindset. I've had the opportunity to meet Dr. E.T. Eric Thomas. So I would say that's my motivation go-to person. However, when I think about how do I learn something new every single day, I use an app called Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y. Feedly is an RSS, which stands for Real Simple Syndication. And I tell people back in the day, my grandfather would go and buy 3 newspapers on Sundays. He would buy the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, and the Chicago Defender. He would come home and he would sort those 3 newspapers between 4 people. And as a child, I would get the comics. He would get the sports. My grandmother would get food and business. And then my mother would get her sections of the newspaper. Well, today with RSS feeds, no one needs to go and buy the publication. You can basically stream those live to you. So I am reading articles from Social Media Examiner. I'm reading articles from Socially Sorted. Those would probably be my 2 favorite because they use a lot of visual content and I'm a visual learner. And then everybody who I give 1 penny of my money to, like Zoom, like Feedly, like MailChimp, I read their blog post and content because I need to know how to maximize the dollars that I'm spending.
Yeah, no, I think that's genius. I know that a bunch of our staff does that as well with our bigger platforms. And you would be surprised at what you don't know your tools do. I mean, that's definitely the case with realtors at large and the MLS tools that we provide. And, you know, that's on us to be sure that the content comes back to them in the right way. But there's a lot of tools in your life and it's hard to maximize your use of them when there's so much going on every day. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I want to maximize every dollar spent.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap up here. I want to know what gave you the motivation and frankly, the confidence to take your show on the road. How did you get into public speaking at large in the way that you're doing it now?
I tell people, if in college they could have given me check marks for exercise self-control, I would have received them. But through grammar school and high school, I was consistently in trouble for talking too much. Exercise self-control, I was getting a check mark every marking period. I had to talk. I start teaching adult learners fresh out of grad school. So I start teaching on a collegiate level at the age of 26. And I realized then that I was too young because I did not have any real world experience. And I told myself in 1996 that I would come back to adult education at the age of 40. My mentor is Frank Williams. He's the godfather in Chicago, past president of the Chicago Association of Realtors. And when I was going on to the board of directors for the Chicago Association of Realtors, he said, "Baby Dal, you need to become a licensed real estate educator. I think that you would be great at that." Now, mind you, I didn't know anything about being a licensed real estate educator. And I went and got the licenses, started teaching, and realized, oh, this is everything I wanted to do at the age of 26. And now I have the knowledge. So I joined Toastmasters. I'm now a member of the National Speakers Association. And once I became involved and realized all the opportunities I realized that for me as a being a double minority, it is always about how to leverage my time as a wife and as a mother. And so I tell women, and this is not, I'm not cutting men out, but I'm telling women this because we understand the difference in pay scales. There's nothing wrong with earning the most amount of money per hour, working the fewest hours possible. So when I started taking heed to that, I realized that my time would be better utilized if I became a keynote speaker. And so there were a lot of things that I stopped teaching so that I could have a better understanding of learning and implementing the social media and technology so that I could essentially have a niche inside of real estate. So I would say it was something that started in 1996. And then my mentor, he told me it was an opportunity in real estate for me. And I said, okay, let me explore that opportunity.
I love it. That's awesome. And I love that somebody brought you up for that. You know, it's we all have to remember to tap the people beneath us for their own potential, because you don't always see what's right in front of your own eyes. So I love that. Well, Mark, you've been so great. I just could talk to you all day, and I really appreciate you doing this with us. And I know that our listeners are going to get a lot out of our conversation.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you for having me. And if you need anything, always let me know.
You bet.
Hey, team. Let's make this a thing. If you like what you heard today, share this episode on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and tag me at M. Chenevere. That's E.M. Chenevere. You can also subscribe to Scratch That on SoundCloud and iTunes, and grab show notes at abor.com/scratchthat. Thanks for joining me today. Now let's go get some stuff done out there.